I'm super excited today. Kicking us off for 2023, we have pastors and evangelists Jonathan and Adala Shuttlesworth. Amazing. And next to me, I have my beautiful sister-in-law, Susie.
So honored to be here.
And thank you, you two, for dropping in today.
No, it's nice to get out of the house.
Okay, so for people who are watching, maybe never heard of you guys before, why don't you give us some background?
After you.
Please, after
you. No, please, after you.
Y'all are married.
I know, 15 years.
We pastor a church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we've traveled as evangelists for 21 years around the country and a few other countries.
We started our church last year.
I want to know about that, actually, because evangelists on the road for all these years, how did you transition into becoming pastors?
If you would have asked me 2 years ago, I would have guaranteed you I would have never pastored.
He actually said that. He's like, I will never be a pastor.
I would cut people off if they asked. Yeah. Do you think you... It'll never happen.
Yeah.
So then...
Wait, why is that?
Because God called me to be an evangelist. So okay. That's... And I knew... I think a lot of, no, I won't say a lot, I think many evangelists don't understand. See, I have two uncles who pastor, and my grandfather pastored. So I knew it wasn't the kind of thing like, I'm tired of traveling, I'll just pastor. It's like, it's a ton of work. Mm-hmm. And if you're not called to do it, you're going to be awful at it. So it was New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2020. I was sitting down to eat cake, and I felt the Lord speak to me as strong as I've ever heard him. Build me a strong church in this city. And so I immediately went and told her twin sister, and her husband's a builder. I asked at our office we had at the time, I was like, if we knock these walls out, because the office we bought for our ministry used to be a church, like a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
And I was just planning maybe to have like 60 or 80 people, because I had no like delusions that if I started a church, like 1,000 people are going to show up. I thought we'll have like 40, 60. So I started making plans like that. And it just, then we thought we needed a bigger place. So we bought a church that went under during COVID because they shut down. And then that place was too small even before we started the church. The land wasn't gonna be able to sustain the parking and everything from the amount of people we had registering. And then a lady gave us an office building to be a church, deeded it to us. They were gonna charge us way less money. And then after we made our first three payments, the husband walked in with the deed and our three checks we'd sent in and said, we like what you're doing, you can just have it. It's a $7 million building.
Wow.
Then we outgrew that one. And then now we're in a soccer dome, and we cracked 1,000 people in September. So that it's been, I thought maybe like if I did everything right, we'd have 200 or 300 people in 5 years. That's what I honestly thought. I would
Me
tell
too.
Her that.
Yeah.
Like, listen, this isn't like where everybody's excited you're going to start a church and come, but God gave us some strategies, and we won the lost and discipled them, and there it went.
That just goes to show, if you will obey the Lord, He will take care of it. So now that you guys are pastoring, is it what you almost thought that it was kind of like a heart's desire fulfilled that maybe you didn't even know you had?
It wasn't for me. I had zero desire to pastor. I know what pastoring was. I know how you know, people need help all the time. When you're an evangelist, it's great because you preach and you preach a lot, but then when you're home, you're home. Like, you know, if anything bad's happened to somebody, you're not involved. Whereas a pastor, there's stuff happening with people all the time. And if you're going to do it properly, you have to take care of them. But now that we've started doing it, it was never a desire of my heart. But what I've liked to do is pastors always have things to say about evangelists. Like, these evangelists think you can just, and it turns out you actually can just do all that stuff. Like, people would say, well, they preach like that because they're evangelists. They can leave at the end of the week. But actually, I can preach stronger because it's my church. I'm not even in someone else's ministry. I never said that stuff because I was leaving at the end of the week. Mm. I said it because it needed to be said and did what needed to be done. So you kind of find out that the same things you use in evangelism work in pastoring.
It was a heart's desire for me, for sure. Because one of the things about evangelists is you go in a place, you blow it up, and then you're on to the next. So you don't make those like relationship connections. And so that was prior to God speaking to him, me and my sister were already talking about it because all of the churches local to where we were at were shut down. So we're like, man, if only we had a church.
Yeah, we were driving 2 hours to go to church when COVID first hit.
Wow. Oh, because there was nothing was open.
We had to drive to West Virginia.
Yep.
Wow.
So that was something already kind of brewing in my heart. And anytime I'd talk to him, he'd immediately diffuse it. So I'm like, all right, it's a work of the Spirit.
Oh, man.
And that's what it was. And the Lord really did speak to him.
And see how you didn't bow to the agenda of man. You listened, you submitted to God. It goes back to that fear of the Lord.
That's right.
And look at how he blessed you.
Yeah.
And I think about my church. I go to Mercy Culture in Fort Worth, and it was one of the first churches to open, and it exploded because all these people were hungry and wanted
That's
to
awesome.
Meet in person, and they just weren't afraid. And, you know, they got a lot of criticism because of it, but it was nothing compared to what God did in it. And
yeah.
So, look, you had so much church because it shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So if people would have just leaned into faith and trusted God and not into the fear of man, they could have thrived in that time too.
100%. Absolutely.
Because the need was there more than ever.
More than ever.
Yeah.
No, it's insane. I don't want to get back into 2 years ago. I was astounded that people shut their ministries down, especially if you grew up with our background where they were telling you about the Antichrist and Mark of the Beast from the time you were like six. It's like you could smell this thing. It's like, oh, this is like the beginning of that Antichrist system trying to get in the breakdown of the Constitution to make it happen.
Yep.
As soon as it's like, how does anyone not see this? This is like either you take your stand now or you're reenacting Thief in the Night with 666 on your forehead. So that better do it up front.
I watched all those movies.
Sure did.
Tell
them about your sister.
My sister, well, they played that at our church. My sister was 5 at the time. I was 8.
Oh.
My sister slept with my mom till she was 12
from
that movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it scared her very badly.
I don't remember which one I watched, but I had one of the Tribulation movies, and I had like this little old VHS.
The ones from the 70s?
Not really,
the newer ones with Kurt Cameron, the old,
the
70s
those are the
ones.
Mine were the hardcore ones.
Yeah, 70s.
That movie.
With like the Antichrist, you get led into this white room and they chop your head off or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was 11 and I had these friends that were like 15, 16, and 17. We all would play street hockey. So I invited them to my church to watch those movies. Their faces were like white. And when they give the altar call, they were like, and they weren't even like close to
safe. I love it. Oh my goodness.
But I just wonder, how did no one, you know, how could you not see, if you go down the road of the government telling you when you can have church and under what conditions you can have church, you don't need to be a theologian, like a C-plus history student.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
So the time to take the stand at the beginning, and not a lot of people did, and maybe God, you know, I got an attorney and filed paperwork against the Attorney General of our state to keep churches open. I didn't even have a church. I just thought, like, if we're all going to go to jail, I'm going down swinging. I'm not going to like see what they're going to allow us. It's illegal. You can't do that. So anyway, yeah, maybe that did start something.
Yeah. Like, did you hear anything of that?
Oh, they backed down. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do it. Pennsylvania has a stronger religious freedom thing than the United States Constitution because William Penn was a Quaker. They'd quake under the power of God. That wasn't allowed. So he was persecuted by other churches. So he got his own land grant. Pennsylvania, Penn's Woods, to freely practice his faith. So the Pennsylvania Constitution is stronger with religious protection. That's why the Amish are there and everything.
Wow.
You can't touch churches. So when they're going to shut you down, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's illegal. And that's why when you hear people quote Romans 13 and following the law, the Constitution's the law. You don't follow tyrants that break the law.
That's right.
Even Paul, when he was getting beat the one time, before they beat him, said, before you whip me, is it legal to whip a Roman citizen without charge? They all backed off. He took his beatings when he had to, but he didn't take them when he didn't have to.
Oh, wow. That's powerful. And it's so important that we take ground and we don't fall over, you know, because, I mean, what we are dealing with in America is nothing compared to the fight in other countries. And I remember Sean Foyt, he had friends in other countries, and they're like, look, I know what's going on in your country. If you guys don't stand up, they're going to take, because this is what happened
That's
in our
right.
country. And I had multiple people. There was somebody from, I think, Bulgaria that came through, and she moved here, but she said what they're doing now, they did exactly in my country before, I think, communism took over.
Yes.
And so it's just anyone that's
And you
fled
noticed
from
a lot
that,
of people that were from those backgrounds, from communistic countries, they fought hard. Like, they stayed open because they could see it coming.
That's
Sean Foyt did a great job during that time.
The Cubans,
I had a chance to tell him. I met him in the hair conditioner aisle at the grocery store. True story.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Like, in a second. That's amazing. I'm keeping that in this video. That was such a good joke.
That's how I found you guys, was during...
Wait, are you serious?
Tell us.
Wait, tell the story.
Because I was like, I put on Christian television and was like, is anybody else want to speak up? And you put on all the other channels. They're playing like people's programs from 8 months ago, like part three on how to organize, prioritize your time better. It's like, hey, we're on the brink of the apocalypse. Right? So then you flip on Daystar and you guys might as well have had like bandanas and eye black on, yeah. just like going at it. Yeah. And I thought, all right, that's all I needed to know. Yeah. It's funny how COVID kind of made denominations not matter anymore.
Right.
There was either freedom and open or listen to the government and close down. And anybody that stayed open, it's like they all found each other. There's a Southern Baptist church in New Hampshire that stayed open and, you know, New England, they were under major pressure. And their denomination wanted them to shut down, and the guy wouldn't do it. So then he starts scanning channels and YouTube, trying to find out if anyone else is open. He found Rodney Howard Brown. He found me. Then he has us into the church. A bunch of people get baptized in the Holy Ghost. He gets baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Oh, wow.
Because, so you can see how, as sad as it was that people shut down and kind of lost their church and stuff, other people that stayed open are booming, and they all found each other, which is nice.
I know, it was the way to all find. So you found us because we were talking.
Yeah.
Yep, and I feel like a huge part of that was both of my parents. I was so proud of my dad because he just did not care. Nope. That's one of the things I loved about him. He was like a lion when he needed to be. He was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but he was a lion on things where he was like, I don't care what anyone thinks about me. And we knew like, okay, hey, we might take a hit. You know, of course, we're not completely donor-based, but we take donations. And we were just like, we don't care. We're going to speak out about something that no one wanted to talk about because it was so controversial, which was just so... When you said, how could people not see what was going on? I think deception is so thick, you know, not all, just all around the world, but in America. And people were really, I heard pastors saying, well, I got to do what's best for people. And that's like, as believers, do we not believe in the healing power of Christ? Come do we on, not sis. Believe in like,
no,
the
people don't.
We have?
People don't believe
it's
in that.
Evident.
And they almost felt like they thought it was more, they were better off keeping it closed. They were protecting people. Than keeping themselves open, which is actually what really would have helped people.
No, and then you take it a step further. To have your church closed on Sunday because it's too dangerous to gather to worship and open for vaccination on Monday with more people gathered than come
Crazy.
To church.
Right?
So Crazy. All it shows you is it has nothing to do with principle. You just do what the path of least resistance is.
That's right.
You don't have any principles. And your father had principles. Your mother has principles. I like people like that, even if I don't agree with them.
Yeah.
Like you take like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We are different politically.
Yeah.
She in no way bothers me because she said she's upfront about what she believes. I get bothered when somebody pretends like they're on your side and then they're actually, then when they're not with you, they're a different way. I don't mind if people are out front about what they believe.
See, the thing that bothers me is when I see people who try to take the path of like, oh, we're loving and we're caring, but it's really like, no, you're just afraid of people.
That's right.
And you don't want to lose your influence. So you're going to go under the blanket of, oh, well, we just care about people. It's like, no, if you really care about people, you tell them the truth. That's
Love's not passive.
No. Mm.
Love is active. So you love loves, and then love also takes a strong stand. Because I love my wife and daughter, if someone breaks in our house at 11 at night, they die.
Yeah.
So love is not, well, let's hope he leaves. Let's hope he doesn't do anything too bad. That's idiocy. So, and as a Christian, you're to have principles. Just like they have principles in Islam. Islam doesn't bend everything so that they can get more people to come. If you come to that mosque, we have a set of things we believe that you're expected to subscribe to or you're not a Muslim. And then Christianity makes it like you want to make it to reach people. And every church you see doing that, they're not getting more people. They're emptying and selling their buildings because God doesn't bless that. Christianity, yes, we reach people, but you're reaching them to bring them to something. You're not pulling Christianity down to where people want it to be.
Yeah, because it cheapens everything that Christ did for us on the cross. It's like he suffered such a horrific death, and he suffered even the whole time up to his death. He was embarrassed. You know, he lay naked. It was hanged naked on a cross. It's like Jesus didn't go through all that for nothing.
No, and why did he go through it? If we're to always obey the law, please explain to me how Christ ended up on the cross.
Yeah.
He was told specific things not to say and specific things not to do. Mm. You also weren't allowed to lay hands on lepers. Lepers weren't allowed to come into the community. He never said, spray them down with Clorox and like send them back to the colony. He ministered to them.
That's right.
And that's how we need to be. We're continuing his ministry to this day.
And you and your family in this channel, and I'm not saying that because I'm on with you, you do that. And that's why I respect this place because it would have been easy. You're not some upstart ministry. Your father during that time where he like needed help and was trying to launch, Daystar could have easily shut down and had money in reserve and could have waited till everything passes for 2 years. And instead, you stuck your neck out for the body of Christ. And that's why you're being blessed like you are now.
I feel like after all that, it just makes you want to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it almost kind of like, I don't know.
It reminds me of that scripture about your faith being like gold purified by fire. You always had that. But now that you've actually exercised it, it's like even me, I would have considered myself a faith person in 2029. But now I really have faith because you've stared that devil down and found out he doesn't have the ability to do what he says he can do. Mm. He threatens and threatens. But when it actually comes time to fight, it's like Goliath. You run your mouth for 40 days. When it actually comes time to fight, you're knocked out in 1 minute.
Yeah.
That's the devil.
That's right.
Talk and talk and talk. But if you actually, okay, Mr. Governor, we're going to have church anyway, and you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Then they don't. Because the devil does not have the capacity to take a Christian out.
And so here we are now in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And God spoke to you. And I want you to share with the people who are listening some of that word.
When COVID first started, the Lord, I said, how do we play this, Lord? And I felt the Lord take me to 2 Chronicles 20. So they're under attack. Then the call's given to stand in the temple. So 2020 was who will stand in the temple and who won't. Then 2021, what happens next in the chapter? The Holy Spirit comes and strengthens those that stood in the temple. That was 2021. Wow. 2022, the Lord destroys all their enemies. That was last year. Roe versus Wade overturned.
Wow.
The vaccine mandate overturned. And this was all said in the beginning of the year. I know you have my Uncle Ted on. I don't know if he played it on your channel or not, but he was preaching in Rowlett, Texas in this time last year, like this exact time last year, back when the vaccine mandate was in effect and it looked like OSHA was going to have free reign over all.
Oh, I remember that.
And he said, I was praying and the Lord showed me a dark figure over the United States of America. And the Lord said to me, this is the strong man that's been over the United States since 2015. And then a shaft of light came down and burned it up. And the Lord said, I've destroyed that spirit over the United States in answer to the prayers of my people. And he said, 2022 is going to be a year of great breakthrough and turnaround. And you had all those major Supreme Court cases, I mean, all year long, one after another. It was actually an awesome year.
Yeah.
And then 2023, I felt in my spirit going into this year, if I'm going to sum it up on one thing, after God destroyed their enemies and transferred the wealth out of the wicked's hand into the righteous hand, the Bible said, and God gave them rest round about on all sides from all their trouble. So Satan is not permitted to continually assault a nation in this dispensation. After the rapture and the tribulation happens, there's no restrainer. He can do that. And that's what's going to make that so severe. Jesus rebuffed Satan once. It is written. It is written. It is written three times. And Satan left him alone for a season. So I felt like this year is going to be a year of relative peace because that dark cloud has been dealt with. And now the church has a window to move and see a great revival happen in the United States and around the world. That's what I believe, the righteous shall possess the land.
Okay. So the revival, part of the possessing the land is that revival. God's given us this opportunity
for the church to move it into the void and possess the land, rather than let the wicked move back in. Why complain about who's on your school board and who's in office?
Yeah.
It's that when you can do something, I mean, especially in America, it's a we don't have like a class system. Anybody can make it.
Right.
So it's time for the church to get on fire for God and then figure out what their piece of the Great Commission is and occupy it. Daniel was a government official. Abraham was a cattle rancher. It's not just preachers and non-preachers. Everybody has their role to play around the country. And that's what revival does. Revival put people on fire where they're not sitting back waiting for things to happen. They spearhead something in their generation.
What do you have to say about 2023 at Dallas?
I actually woke up on January 1st with the word momentum. And I really feel like 2023 is going to be a year where God is giving us momentum to ride it out until the coming of the Lord. Like, I say that now, like, as kids, we talk about the coming of the Lord as though it's going to be like, you know, 100 years coming. But now, especially through COVID, I think the reality of the soon return of Jesus is like, you could taste it, you know? And I think, like, even the unsaved, I am amazed at even the unsaved people in the world being aware of Bible prophecy and the return of Jesus. All of a sudden, what I feel like the devil meant for harm actually is going to be used against him, because it kind of put everybody, like, their spider senses went off. The spidey senses kicked in. And they're like, something just doesn't feel right. And so it kind of ushered in all of these people. You know, we have a guitar player. He's in a part of our worship band. He started watching Check the News. I don't know if you guys follow Check the News.
Yes, so good.
You shouldn't tell people.
Check the News is something that Jonathan felt led to do to pacify the fear of people, you know, because we were given all of this poison.
Oh, 100%.
And at the end of the day, everyone's like, you know, and paralyzed. Even faith people, you know? And so he would get on there and start speaking like, this is why this is not possible. Mm. This is why, you know, and so he'd talk about Bible prophecy. He'd talk about, you know, shedding the truth about God's word and just facts, like reality.
Yeah.
And one of the guys tuned in, and he was local to Pittsburgh. We didn't know about it.
I forgot about that.
And he and his girlfriend were watching, and they were atheists, like wanted nothing to do with God, nothing to do with religion. And after watching Jonathan and the humor he brought to that, it not only pacified fear, but it injected joy to these people. You know, we had like really, for the first time in our ministry, we hit a million views. For our YouTube channel, and it was because of this show. And it
we
was
left
just
all
the
cursing in and everything, so people
by accident.
No, because I didn't have time to, like, for the riots. I don't know, the BLM riots,
right,
and all that. I didn't have time to edit it up, and it was only on YouTube. So we just left it. So at the end, we do a prayer. If you need to, if you see all this and can tell, you know you're not right with God. And people like didn't know it was a Christian show, so it like sandbagged
Jarred
them.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I love that.
It was that like, you know, brought people in, and it continues
oil
to do
field
so.
Guys, bikers.
People
because
that
you,
would never.
You have a large contingent. I don't understand why the church, I think they watch so much TV and movies that they think the whole country's liberal.
Yeah.
When really 100%. It's 50, it's, you know, at best it's 50-50. So you got all these guys that are unsaved that are conservative. Mm. Bike chapters, oil field workers. Mm. They believe principally the way we believe, but they're not saved. They don't know Jesus Christ because of some misrepresentation of religion. Well, they started coming to church. Those meetings we'd have in 2020 and 2021, we had a ton of people get saved because they could tell something was up. Mm. And like in 2019, you talk about the mark of the beast, that everyone's going to have to get something injected into their body to buy or sell. You'd say, that would never happen. Then when it starts to actually be where you're going to have to get something injected in your body in order to go to the grocery store and go to work, people are like, wait a
minute.
Hold on. This rings some bells. I heard a comedian that's not saved go, doesn't this sound strangely like something out of the book of Revelation to anyone else?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People have it in them.
That's it.
So then if you can point them in the right direction, they get saved.
Yeah. I mean, I think like across the board, it's not just like the American population, but even like migrants, like you've got Cubans and people from Venezuela and all of these people that know what communism looks like and tastes like and feels like. They could smell it. And all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, it's happening here. This is like the glory land. Yeah. Like if this falls, like everything else, we're doomed, you know? And so I feel like this brought it just kind of like united people that would really in the natural never be united. And so when I think about this year, I feel like God has given us momentum because the devil's going to do the same thing. You know, he's going to try this. They're already talking about like a second, whatever version of the coronavirus. And so for us, everyone keeps talking about this window of opportunity. And I felt that, on January 1st. And I felt like we have momentum here. And we do, on the heels of what you were saying about, you know, God giving us the land, possessing the land means you have to do something about it.
Yeah.
You know, Joshua and Caleb, they weren't just sitting around and be like, okay, give us the keys. Where is it? Yeah. You know, God spoke to them and said, now you go and fight for that land. There's a fight that has to be had. And this, it's not necessarily a fight because we don't fight against flesh and blood. But that's why we started this year in prayer and fasting, like with you guys, because there's a fight. There's a fight of faith that coincides with receiving something. You don't just get it dropped into your lap. You know, you have to fight the good fight of faith. Yeah. And so there's momentum in this pocket, this little window of opportunity that we have here. What? And we have to step it into gear and just go after it like never before.
You know, one thing you said to me is that usually when you get ready to fight and you shine that fire, I mean, when that blowtorch goes off, it's the serpents will come out, the creepy crawlies. Mm-hmm. You have to be ready with the word of God, ready to fight back with prayer and fasting.
Sure.
And if we're gonna go into a wicked nation, dominate the land, you know, for the word of God, with the word of God, how would you encourage the people to, you know, how do you prepare yourself when those serpents come to stand strong and go forward, like Joshua?
I just want to ask a question, just like, you know, besides this. How many death threats did you guys get when you guys took a stand?
They don't tell us, so we block it. We're like, don't tell us. I'm sure they know.
Probably like thousands, okay? Because if we took a stand the way we did, and I had girls' underpants with my daughter's name attached to it.
We're gonna kill your
daughter. And said, we're gonna kill. Like, we had crazy things happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the FBI had to get
the spirit of intimidation.
100%.
And it shouldn't even ever intimidate you, because one thing you learn is the people who actually kill you never phone ahead.
And we had, in one day, we had 280 phone calls, death threats. We're going to do this. We know where you live. We're going to do this. And I thought, that's
what do you
really
do when someone calls to make a death threat? You don't take appointments.
Right.
We have a Wednesday at 1. I mean, if you need something later in the week, we have Friday.
Yeah, you've got a waiting list here for, you know, for people that want to assassinate us. But it's that spirit of intimidation. Mm-hmm. And when the fire is really hot, that's when the serpents go out. Just like when it was when Paul came into the land and he was making the fire and boom. But what you do with that is you stand. Like, there's something about taking a stand and staying with it. Mm-hmm. Having done all you can do, stand. And so I feel that word stand, when you look into like the meaning of it, it's not a passive stand. It's an active stand. Now, I'm ghetto by nature. Like, I just got a little hoodie on me. And so when you look at that, it's you're waiting to fight. You're looking to see the adversary, and you're looking to see any of the tactics to try to pacify and fight against it spiritually. You're not just sitting there waiting for God to intervene. You are actually taking a stance of domination, of fight, that I am not going to move from this place. And I feel like in Christianity, we've lost the fight.
Oh, yeah.
And
especially
so,
here.
100%.
Because we're not used to having to fight anything.
No.
Because everything was allowed.
People don't know sacrifice. They don't know, you know, fight, grit. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the moment something goes wrong, just pray for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, when are you going to believe the word of God and stand and be convinced that God's word is true, and it's true for me, and it's true right now. And I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. The word of God is true. It's the ultimate truth, like Jerry Savelle says, you know, because a lot of times there's lots of truths out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what's your ultimate truth? Whatever your ultimate truth is, that's what you abide by. That's what you stick with. And you're not moved and you're not shaken. And I think for women, you know, because I can say for certain he's not like this, but when fear creeps in, it dominates everything.
Oh,
every aspect, you feel like scared, you feel anxious, and you feel. But at some point, you have to understand, we're not going by feelings, we're walking by faith. You know, and I looked it up years ago because I wanted to, I struggled with fear a lot, like, you know, back in the day. But one of the things that spoke to me was that God's people, they walk by faith and not by sight. Mm. And so I always thought it was the opposite of faith was fear. Mm. But it's not. Faith, the opposite of faith is what you see. Because we have a tendency to just stay in the natural and just have eyes for the now instead of having eyes, spiritual eyes, you know, that are intoxicated with what God's word says, that reality, that truth, and have that be the focus. And people have missed that.
Oh, that's such a good point. Because faith is what you don't see. It's believing what, it's knowing what you don't see. So the opposite of that is what you do see.
Right. That's right.
And we got so obsessed in 2020 with what was in front of us and not seeing what we couldn't see.
Right.
And I think that's why a lot of people fell victim to that. And I loved you talking about the fight. I was thinking about the promised land. That land was full of giants.
That's right.
So when they had to take it, but what was so cool is that when they took that land, it was already completely cultivated.
Come on.
Instead of God giving them this blank space, but
the
they had to fight.
That's right. But it was already set up. Because if you think about it, when they spoke to Rahab, they're like, oh, our hearts are melting within us. So they were afraid of them.
Yeah.
You know, so even though at the first sight of them, grasshoppers, you know, those people didn't amount to anything. They were swallowed up by the ground. But Joshua and Caleb carried a different spirit, the Bible says. And that different spirit is the spirit of faith. Mm. And that's what caused them to go into the land with ease, knowing that that was just literally handed over because God was in it. Mm. And so that's what I feel like I wish more people would understand. If God tells you to do something, it's because he set it up for you to win.
That's right.
So you think it's going to be this like fight where you're going to be in fear and you're going to be, you know, going down, declining, and we're going to have to, you know, fight and be sad and lose. That is never the case for what God's called us to do. Like he's already set us up and it makes it easy. He makes it easy for us.
Yeah, like exactly. Deuteronomy 28, you know, if God's word is literally telling you, you meditate on my word, you live by me, then you will walk into the land and you will have, you know, wells you haven't dug, vineyards you haven't planted. All the work is done. You walk in with ease, like you said, with ease, and you take what God has given you, but you got to walk in and you got to have faith.
And you got to fight.
Yeah. See, I think one of the biggest, like one of our biggest, what's the word I would say? Things that holds us back as American believers is actually comfort. Mm. I think we get comfortable.
1,000%.
And I can attest to this. I've struggled with this. Mm-hmm. And actually, I've had to repent because almost for being carnal. Carnality is thinking this world is your home.
Mm.
When we get
definition.
Focused on this world being our home, we want to set up shop here and focus on being comfortable. And then we don't want to get uncomfortable. And what God is calling us to do, we're going to be uncomfortable.
That's right. Mm.
And so it's just the thing with fasting. It's like even this year, I'll shout out myself. I didn't want to be uncomfortable. I didn't want to fast anything.
Sure.
That's why I love my church. My church is like, guess what? We're not doing 21 days. We're doing 40. Like, I just love, I love my pastors. And he's like, you know, be submissive to the house. Mm. You know, they're not saying we have to do it, but it's like, I want you to do this. We're doing this corporately as a church. And I love being in an environment and see even being around people like that kind of stirs that up within me. You can get so caught up in the day-to-day life that you forget that this world is not it. This world is just a stepping stone and that there is a fight. And yeah, we need to be present. We need to be in the day and day.
Yeah.
But we also need to be living by faith.
That's it.
Being uncomfortable, being obedient, and knowing that there is so much to possess out there, but we got to get up and do it.
That's right. I think also the Bible says like you could lose a lot in your spiritual walk by just being busy. And Americans are really, really good at being busy.
And distracted.
And distracted. You've got your phone. You've got soccer practice. You've got band practice. You've
got
school. You've got Game Boys is not a thing anymore. You've got Xbox. But you know what I mean? Like, you have all of these things.
Those dang Game Boys.
Walkman.
Yeah, Walkman, walkie-talkies. But you have all of these things to fill in.
Exactly. Etch a sketches.
To fill in your day that you forsake what's most important. And so people live, and I feel like people think that they have, you know, 120 years to live. And it's just, you don't. And time goes by so fast. And I was a teenager and people would tell me that. And I'm like, only old people say that. And now I'm 38 and I'm like, time flies by. My daughter's going to be 10 years old.
Yeah.
And time has been flying by and we don't get those years back. And so just to stay busy for busy's sake, we got to keep first things first. That's why we start the year off with prayer and fasting, because we do this to consecrate our lives, to consecrate our ministry, our children to the Lord, because we got to keep first things first and not let the busyness of life just choke that out, you know, the spiritual aspect of it.
I want to get back to the 2023 word, because I want you, Jonathan, to encourage ministers who maybe were intimidated or afraid. And you told a really good story on another show about how when you two were in your early days of ministry, how you had to go into a church and you had a crazy word for the church. I want you to tell that story, and then I want you to encourage ministers to lean like that into story? That. I do. I want ministers to understand. Yes. This is why. I want ministers to understand that they're not going to church to serve people, they're serving God. Mm. And if that was the mentality, I think one of the biggest issues with American church is they have leaned into a consumerist mindset.
Hey.
And they think that the people are always right. The customer's always right in America. Ugh. And they've applied that to church.
Ooh, that is
and so
good.
If the church is upset, the service is too long. They don't like the worship music. We're catering to the flesh because it's what their soul wants. And church isn't for people.
In trying to appeal to everybody, you appeal to nobody.
No. Oh, 100%.
And that's where people mess up is they're, you can mess your ministry up like that. What gets the most phone calls? Well, what people are interested in is insane. Yeah. You know, will my pet be in heaven? That's great, but that'll be like
when
what gets
done that.
That'll be like what gets the most response of anything, and then people don't care about.
Christopher's going to be running around.
That's right.
Oh my Jesus God!
No, you can't be driven by what people like, and that's where if you're going to encourage ministers, that what you said is where they miss it. Trying to have mass appeal, you end up having no appeal.
Wow.
You need to know who you're called to. Look at even during COVID. People say, well, some people want masks. Yeah, but a lot of people didn't. Mm. So you weren't masked up enough or shut down enough for the mask and shutdown people, and you were too masked and too shut down for people that were like us that enjoy freedom.
Yeah.
So pick a side. Jesus said that. Be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. You would do better picking. Find out who you are. In the Bible, who has God made you? What's your assignment? Yeah. I, Paul, an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was an apostle to the Jewish people. Anytime Paul tried to reach the Jewish people, when he got arrested reaching the Jewish people, he had to invoke his legal privileges to get out. When he was reaching the Gentiles, God sent an earthquake. Find your assignment and do what God's called you to do and be who God's called you to be. Mm. Because people always are trying to get you to lose the thing God gave you that makes your anointing and calling unique. You know, you do this too much. And if you listen to all of them, you just turn into like a manila envelope glued to a beige wall. You're nothing. You're not funny. You're not anointed. You're not powerful. You're just safe. But embrace what God made you that makes you different and be that in the bounds of Scripture, because God made you unique. I know it's as a cliche a thing as you can say, but he did. And your anointing's unique. And that's what people need. Billy Graham would have ruined his ministry if he started having healing lines. You know, he found his thing and did that and refused to deviate from that. And he changed the world. And so has everybody that's done anything great for God. What's your thing? The Great Commission's too big to bite off the whole thing. What's your section of it? Be comfortable in that. Don't crave somebody else's ministry. And do your thing, and God will use you mightily.
All right, tell the story. Tell the story of the church.
All right. We were just married, and I was preaching in Central Pennsylvania.
At Dallas's first
experience.
First meeting.
Probably a 300-seater with 43 people. Mm-hmm. And so I stood, they had me up to preach, introduced me, and I said, back then, I don't do this much now, but then I said, let's all stand for the reading of God's word.
To show respect to God's word.
So I get ready to read my text, and I look up after I said, let's stand for the reading of God's word. And about 20% of the crowd is up, and about 80% of the crowd's not only not standing, they have their arms crossed, like glaring at me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I thought, well, maybe I was like, you know, you don't want to get yourself maybe people have like leg problems here. I don't want to like, so I said one more time, like just to cover myself. Everyone that's physically able, out of respect for the word of God, let's stand. Nobody budges. So I said, let me tell you something. I know I'm young, but I've been traveling and preaching full time. I've been to well over 100 churches. You by far are the most physically ugly crowd I've ever seen in my life. Which you just see people's eyebrows like they've never been talked to like that. I went, now stand up or I'm going to come off the platform and physically stand all of you up. I said, but I promise you one way or the other, you'll stand up. So people just start like reluctantly, like they're like, who is this psychopath?
Yep.
So then we do the service, right? So I'm thinking even like halfway through my preaching, I saw her, she was sitting towards the front. When I said that, she like moved towards the back. Like if we had to like get out.
Yeah, I was like, I'm out of here. Plus so, I was so eight shades of red.
I thought the pastor's going to come up to me and be like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like 26 and he goes, that was awesome. I went, what part? Because at this point, people had gotten saved a few. And that was great that you told the people that. He's like, I've been wanting to do that. They won't listen to anything I say. So then I find out they had had 6 pastors in 5 years. The board and the congregation voted pastors out more than 1 a year. And they only, it was a spirit.
It's a spirit.
No preacher's going to tell me what to do. Mm. So at 26, I felt this thing rise up in me and followed it. Some things, before there can be a revival, need to be broken or destroyed. And you had to destroy that spirit to get rid of it. I'll tell you another story. You have my Uncle Ted on his programs on. He went to a church one time on Sunday morning. They introduced him. When he gets the mic, he goes, Jesus told me when I was praying, all you need to come to the altar and repent. See you tonight. Put the mic down, signaled to my Aunt Bonnie, and they walked out and went to lunch without the pastor. And people are just sitting there stunned. So then there's no cell phones back then. He finds out they had had a board meeting, the annual board meeting. People got in an argument. People had to be restrained from punching the other board member in the thing. So God wasn't going to move there till they got rid of that. And so it seemed like a disaster as an evangelist. You all need to repent, put the mic down and leave. But they sat quiet for a few minutes. Then one person stood up and repented. I'm sorry for what I did last week. Then it broke out. They all went to the altar. And then from Sunday night on, it was a blowout meeting. So people get into their little mode. They have their way they open a message and their best messages. If you're sensitive to the Spirit, God will show you. It's like there's a key to unlock every door. And God will show you what needs to be done as an evangelist in that church or as a pastor. It's like that pastor, like I told you on the other program. That wasn't new to him. He said, I've been wanting to do that. Why didn't you? Because somewhere down the line, somebody told you that's not pastoral ministry. But if you read church history, the people God used did like crazy things. That guy, Peter Cartwright, that was an evangelist in the Wild West, he would go to the saloon, clap his hands. Everybody listen to me. Jesus sent me here to preach the gospel to you. He said the biggest guy in the Wild West saloon would come up to punch him. He was 6'4", 270 pounds, which is, you know, people were shorter in the 1800s. So he was enormous, would grab him by the collar, knock him out, and leave him laying on the floor. And he said, then everyone would become very respectful because he just knocked out the biggest guy. So that's not like a mode of operation to teach at Bible college. But if you read, God uses people that have like a passion that they're not going to let the devil dictate the course of the church. They're going to come against it and drive it out. I didn't have any problem with those people. I was picking up on a spirit that was in that church that God wasn't going to bless that church if that was the dominating spirit in the church. That had to be driven out and then the Lord could move.
Yeah, see, it goes back to operating the authority we have as believers and not getting caught up with what people think about us, but understanding I serve God, I'm here to do His will, and God wants to set things right. But for things to thrive, it has to have the proper foundation. If the foundation's not right in a place, it's not going to be sustainable. It's not going to last.
Well
that's
said.
Right. That's right.
You do excellent broadcasting. You should look into doing this.
Whole time.
I don't want to prophesy. I can see you doing this like for your whole life.
Okay, so it's almost time for us to wrap this up, but I want you to pray and I just want you to share a little bit more of the 2023 word. And then I want you to just pray for everyone who's watching, because it doesn't matter if you are in ministry, if you're in the workforce, wherever you are, you have a purpose and you're watching this for a reason. And it's time to get up and possess the land like you were talking about.
Yes.
I believe that this is going to be a year of relative peace. Mm-hmm. I believe it's going to be a year of wealth transfer. I believe that a lot of the churches, when I say possess the land, I mean it literally too. There's churches that are popping up for sale left and right, and they're going to continue to, and they should be bought by people that are on fire for God. One thing COVID showed you is you need to own your own property. Mm-hmm. If Daystar leased its studios from somebody, you'd have been closed down whether you wanted to stay open or not. Right. You need to own land, and you need to own property. The guy who gave us our building that we meet at church is a Jewish businessman, and he was telling me how important it is to own land. And he said, they taught us when we were going to synagogue when I was 7 years old, the Egyptians would not let us own land. Then God gave us our own land and we should never allow ourselves to be in that position again. I said, how old were you when they taught you that? He said, I was 7. So think of the difference when you teach 7-year-olds that instead of having them glue I love you, Mom, with pretzel sticks on construction paper like they did for us. So, but that Jewish land ownership, that blessing, Psalm 37, the righteous shall possess the land. Jewish people will not rent as a mode of operation. They what he said is not an anomaly. Jewish people from the first 5 books of the Bible, everybody God made a covenant with in the Bible, he gave them land. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, anybody he made a covenant with, he said, I'm going to give you land. Mm-hmm. So land covenant is part of our Abrahamic blessing as believers. Who taught us as Gentiles we're supposed to rent everything? Then you even hear people, churches don't need buildings. We should just disciple in homes. Okay, what about when you get 100 disciples? What home are you going to meet in?
Right.
Eventually, you're going to have a building. If you're going to do Christian broadcasting, you need studios and offices. You only need an IQ north of room temperature to understand the need of land in a building. So this rejection of wealth and rejection of property acquisition needs to get flatlined in our generation. The end time Christian should be landlord, not a tenant. They should own property. The United States should be dominated by the 100 million Christians that are here.
Amen.
The 100 million Christians shouldn't appear to be 50. Mm. And then you have 3.5% of the population in the LGBTQ community. You'd think they were 200 million because they're not ashamed of what they believe and they're vocal. And somebody convinced the church to shut up.
Yeah.
But the righteous will possess the land.
Amen.
And they'll do it this year.
Amen.
That's so good. You were saying those mentalities need a flatline because the truth is people got a bad taste in their mouth when it came to money.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it all over YouTube. People hating on anyone who preaches and they call it prosperity gospel. And I think there is a section of that that's not right.
Right.
But
it's in the Bible. There's no way to read the Bible and say it's not in there. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Because it's understanding. It makes me think of like Solomon. God gives you this so that you can steward it well. Mm-hmm. Poverty is not a spiritual...
No, it's a curse.
Yeah.
It's listed as a curse in Deuteronomy 28.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not a spiritual characteristic. It's not integrous. When you have a kingdom mentality, it's like money is a tool to spread the kingdom.
I wouldn't be here. I would have had to cancel this appointment. If I had a 6 a.m. flight on American Airlines from Pittsburgh to Dallas, all flights were grounded today because of an FAA screw up, except for private planes. So say, why is it that you say, what does a preacher need a private plane for? What does the Pfizer executive need a private plane for?
Yeah.
Why are you selling that vaccine more important than me getting the gospel to people? Well, which one hurts people and which one helps people?
Exactly.
So why is it okay to open up a $100 million casino and they act like they're curing pediatric cancer? Look how beautiful it is.
Yep.
Look at it. And then if you build a church that's a tenth that size, what do they need all that land in that church? Now, if evil people believe like that, fine. But why have you, through public school, allowed the world to tell you as a Christian what level of blessing you can rise to?
Wow.
If your father gives you a coat of many colors, you don't keep it in the closet because your brothers don't like it. You put it on and wear it.
And the enemy doesn't want the church to be walking in its identity, its position, its power.
No, because you could end around the whole system.
That's right.
It has shut you down in a heartbeat during COVID on Daystar.
Yes.
But they can't because you own everything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the key. And people who are watching, take that word to heart. You know, lean into what God's telling you. You know, ask God, okay, how do you want me to operate this year? How can I possess the land? How can I reach the lost?
Amen.
These are the things you need to be leaning into. And I hope that you'll be doing that after hearing this word. So can you close us out with prayer?
Sure. Father, I thank you for this opportunity you gave us to be on this podcast. I pray for everybody listening and watching that your blessing would be on their life visibly and their family. We thank you for your word that says, the wicked shall fade away, but the righteous shall inherit and possess the land and dwell therein forever.
Thank you, Jesus.
We take that word. We thank you for making space for us, room for our families, room for our ministries. Thank you that increase is an integral part of the kingdom of God. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear. Thank you for divine increase this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, guys, Susie, Dallas, Jonathan, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us. Anytime.
Thank you for watching or listening to OAR. We'll see you next time.
Hey guys, I'm so excited to announce that season 2 of the Rebecca Wise podcast is dropping August 10th. We're going to have guests like Jessica Planis, John Bevere, Lee Cummings, so be sure to check it out.